Keeping the lights on in the Nutmeg State. Connecticut's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority Chairman Marissa Gillette chats with Lisa Wexler now on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us now is Marissa Gillette. Marissa, do you like that intro for you? Isn't that great?
I love that intro. I feel like a superstar.
You're a superstar. Are you kidding me? You're a superstar. So 203-333-9422, if you want to call in, we've got Marissa on the line. Let's begin, Marissa, with, well, let me just, before we talk to you, I just want to remind those who are in the car right now or who will be in the car that on Friday, you have to be wearing your seatbelt in the rear seat of your car. Otherwise, you're against the law. I want to keep telling people this. From now on, in Connecticut, you got to put your seatbelt on in the back seat of the car. Marissa, did you know that? Did you know that was a new law?
I didn't. I just assumed that that was the law. I moved here from Maryland, and I think it's been the law there for a while. So I'm glad we're...
It is the law in some states, but it's not the law in New York. And it's not the law in New York, and it's not the law in a lot of places, but it's now officially the law in Connecticut as of October 1st. Okay, so let me ask you, Marissa, you wanted to tell us a little bit about skyrocketing natural gas prices. What's going on with natural gas?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we touch base about this morning because I think it's probably a little counterintuitive to folks about how natural gas prices sync up with your electricity rates. And I want people to prepare themselves for this coming January, where you are going to see an increase in the supply side of your electric bills because of these skyrocketing natural gas prices. It's a little bit counterintuitive, but because natural gas is the primary fuel that the regional generators use in New England, the prices of natural gas trickle down into the prices of the electricity that folks are using to supply their houses. So that supply rate on your monthly electric bill is directly tied to the regional wholesale competitive market. It's a pass-through. So as the rates go up for the region in terms of how much it costs to generate that electricity, customers are going to see that flow through to their bills come January on the supply side.
So is it costing more because of the storms that we've had?
Yes, I think that's part of it. Customers, if you go back and look at your bills on the supply side of your bill, you'll see that there's a trend, there's a longstanding trend where supply rates go up for the period of January to June, and your supply rate goes down from July to December. And that's because natural gas is historically more expensive to procure for the first half of the year, and it's cheaper in the second half of the year. So you're really following the dynamics of that market. And this year, through a combination of factors, the storms, the weather events, increasing reliance on natural gas, all these factors are coming together. And, coupled with the fact that it's more difficult to get natural gas into New England because of the lack of pipelines, all of that factors together, and it's just going to make natural gas across the country is skyrocketing right now.
We're chatting with Marissa Gillette, the chairwoman of PURA, which is, of course, ironic because many people have been pushed into natural gas as the alternative to home heating oil for, I don't know, decades now. We still have home heating oil, and we've kept it. I like it because I like my home heating oil servicer. I feel like those human beings are always available and ready. But I know that there are arguments that go both ways. And if you live in a condominium or in a kind of apartment where you have no choice about what your fuel is, you may very well have natural gas. So you may have no choice. And speaking of that, if the prices, Marissa Gillette, are going to be going up, are there things that people should know about that could perhaps subsidize or give them a discount on their electricity cost?
Yeah, it's a great question. So if I could take a step back and address your point about oil providers, I think that's a really a good one for folks to flag, because I know there's probably confusion out there of, the policy of the state and, states around us has been to change your heating from oil to natural gas because of the emissions benefits. And that's definitely been something that, you know, many people have pushed over the past couple of years. However, you know, PURA is looking at a docket right now where we're evaluating whether there is indeed a ratepayer benefit from that conversion to natural gas. And if there's not, should we be discontinuing that policy as a state, you know, especially since more folks are pushing for electrification as a better means to combating climate change now anyway. So, you know, folks, if you have oil and you're interested in staying with oil, there are, you know, an increasing options for biofuels and other things that have reduced emissions benefits. So I definitely would not be converting to natural gas home heating right now, you know, due to the economics alone. But if you're already on electric for your heating, or you're just electric for the rest of your house, there are things that you can do, you know, to make sure that you are protected for this upcoming heating season. Starting November 1st, there's a statutory program that has long existed. It's a winter moratorium on disconnects. So if you have a financial hardship situation, or you have a medical issue where you need to rely on equipment that's powered by electricity to survive situations like that, you should absolutely call your utility today and ask for them to talk with you about whether you qualify for what's called hardship protection. If you qualify for hardship protection, your electricity, your heat cannot be disconnected from November 1st to May 1st every year. And that's in recognition of, you know, the life-saving quality of these public service utilities. So please make sure if you think that you qualify, or you're not sure if you qualify, absolutely call Eversource or UI today or your gas utility and ask whether you qualify for financial hardship. And I think that's critical.
So, Marissa Gillette, if you qualify for financial hardship, they can't turn off your electricity, but the bill can keep accruing. Do you know if these utility companies offer any subsidization for people who would otherwise qualify? You know, maybe they have, you know, maybe they're living on just Social Security income. Do they offer any kind of a subsidy for poor people?
They do. And they should talk to you when you call. They should absolutely bring up those programs that they offer. Their programs that PURA mandates that they offer. There are arrearage payment programs. So they're called things like a matching payment program, or some of the utilities call them New Start. Basically, the concept is all the same. You work with the utility to see whether what monthly payment you qualify for, which can be as low as $50 if you qualify for government benefits like SNAP or things like that. And then they can enroll you in these matching payment programs where every month that you make a payment, they match that payment to help bring down your arrearages. And it's a year-long program, and it matches up to this this financial hardship. And, you know, in addition to that, for folks that are maybe newly challenged with their finances, PURA mandated what's called a COVID-19 payment program, which all of the utilities, water, electric, gas in the state, they all have to offer until the conclusion of the emergency, which big news this week was extended until February. And these payment programs, they require no financial means test. So if you are, you know, newly struggling because of the pandemic, you got a little bit behind on your bills, if you enroll in this program, it can spread out your arrearages up to 24 months, waive the interest, and really help you get back on your feet. And the great news here is anyone that's actively enrolled in a payment program of any kind cannot be terminated, no matter what time of year it is.
Wow.
So please, please do not let your lights or your water or your gas get turned off unnecessarily. We're really pushing these utilities to make that a last resort for folks.
How many How many, do you have an idea of the data, Marissa Gillette, about how many households in Connecticut do have their electricity turned off for non-payment?
So so that's what's called an uncollectible account, and we are beginning to track that. However, PURA instituted a moratorium from March of 2020 all the way until September 15th of this year due to the pandemic, where we prevented those service disconnections for reasons of non-payment. So I don't have current numbers because they're just now allowed to start resuming those disconnections. But previous data suggests it's high. It's too high. It's too high for, you know, something that's a basic necessity. So we're trying to tackle this from all angles. You know, the underlying issue, of course, is the bill affordable to begin with? And, you know, without taking calls from your listeners, I am sure 100% of respondents would say, no, it's not affordable. Which is, you know, something we're directly tackling. We have an interim rate decrease draft decision that's out on the streets for Eversource right now, for example. So no shortage of work to do on all fronts. But until I can get to the root cause of the issue, and that, you know, that the rates are too high, while I'm working on that, I want to make sure that folks, again, do not get their service terminated unnecessarily.
Yeah, we're chatting with Marissa Gillette, the chairwoman of PURA, our Public Utilities Regulatory Agency. And, you know, Marissa, you have a huge job, but it sounds like you really, you're in with your elbows. In other words, you really are understanding all the different aspects of running this agency in terms of its impact on the ultimate consumer, which is us. I think that I could keep going here and asking a million questions, but I do have just, I have one more just for today, although I could speak to you probably every day about this stuff, because I think that you don't make it dry. You make it very interesting. The last that I heard, Eversource was appealing. Were they appealing the $30 million levy that you gave against them, or were they appealing the rate decrease that you insisted on with them? What is it that they are appealing?
That's a great question. I don't mean this flippantly, I don't think, but they're appealing pretty much everything that I'm doing, which is their right, their legal right.
Okay.
So they are appealing, you know, in April we issued a decision finding that they didn't meet acceptable performance standards for Tropical Storm Isaias. As a result, we imposed a reduction in their profit margin. So they're appealing that decision. Separately, for the same for the Tropical Storm Isaias, we levied the maximum civil penalty, which translated to about $28.6 million. They are appealing that. However, the Superior Court sided with PURA and said that Eversource had to go ahead and start refunding that credit to ratepayers while the appeal pins. So. Is pending. So ratepayers should have seen a line item on your bill this month, which will continue for the next, for a full year, which is the tropical storm, your share of the Tropical Storm Isaias civil penalty.
And one other thing, I've got a question from a listener with respect to the Darien tree controversy. They understand that it's coming before you because the tree warden flatly decided that all but 20 trees should not be cut down. Eversource is insisting, no, they need more. How does that come before you? Are you the fact finder on that, Marissa Gillette? How does that work?
That's a great question. I've been following that as it plays out. As your listeners know, I've been here for about 2 years, and I'm still untangling some of the regulations and statutes that have kind of all come together over a couple decades in Connecticut. It's not totally clear. Eversource has different types of tree cutting, right? They can tree cut in transmission corridors, which PURA doesn't directly regulate. That's regulated by our federal counterpart. Then they could cut down trees on private easements. They could cut down trees on distribution lines in the public right of way. So I'm trying to untangle this mess of who has jurisdiction where. In this specific instance, there is a statute that allows the company to appeal a tree warden's decision to PURA. And that sounds, you know, by the news accounts, that that's what Eversource is going to elect to do in this situation. When it comes before me, we are a fact finder. We'll have to look at the legal standard prescribed by statute, and we'll have to render an ultimate decision. In terms of, you know, what you're hearing from me is I haven't done one of those cases in the 2 years I've been here. They seem rare. But separately, you and I have talked before about my feelings about vegetation management, which are not incredibly friendly. So, I'm interested to take up that case if it comes before us.
Yeah, because it won't be the last. It may be the first, but it won't be the last time that you're going to be asked about trees. And, of course, the sad thing is that apparently Eversource believes it has the untrammeled right to just chop down anything in its quote-unquote right-of-way along the DOT line, which means that, and since the DOT is rarely going to tackle Eversource when it comes to chopping trees down, the DOT loves when trees are dropped down. It makes it easier for them. So you've got two people on the same side, but you've got a neighborhood that is crying because all their trees are going away, and nobody fights for the trees, and nobody fights for the squirrels, and nobody fights for the wildlife and the eagles and the hawks and the owls that live in the trees. And how about the oxygen content of our air that needs the trees? I mean, it's astonishing to me how people don't understand the value of our trees, notwithstanding the fact that we don't want them specifically tangled in our electric lines. We understand that. But I just, you know, they throw the baby out with the bathwater, Marissa. That's what it is, throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah. I think there's a perfect analogy for this situation, and I'm looking forward to, you know, we're investigating this in one of my grid modernization dockets right now, is, you know, the other side of the coin here. Like, what happens when we chop down these trees to our environment or to the increasing frequency of climate change events? And even if you put aside, and I am not advocating for this, but even if you put aside all the environmental benefits, there is a very black and white economic case for us to rethink vegetation management. And I think that's something that, you know, I'm trying to tease out now. And, you know, folks are talking about what it costs to put up poles and wires and what it costs to conduct vegetation management compared to things like strategic undergrounding. But they're not thinking about how often vegetation management has to be repeated or how often storms are coming through and knocking down poles and wires. So we're starting to get into that discussion right now at PURA, and I'm sure folks across the state would love for us to work through that sooner rather than later. And, you know, I'm doing my best to speed up that conversation because it's a necessary one.
Marissa Gillette, thank you so much for coming on once a month. You are such a treasure of the state of Connecticut. You're not allowed to leave. I tell you this all the time. You're not allowed to go anywhere. You have a very big job to do. You're very well appreciated by the rank and file of human beings in Connecticut. We are committed to our environment. We love our environment. And we recognize we also want our lights on, without question. We just don't think it's mutually exclusive. So thank you very much, Marissa Gillette, for coming on the show. And thank you very much for reminding people that if they cannot pay their electric bill as they receive it, they may, in fact, qualify for a subsidy and a matching program, and they ought to call the utility now before they get in arrears, anticipating that rates will go up and the cold weather does come. It comes like clockwork, and their bills are going to go up. So if you think you might qualify, make the phone call today and get that subsidy to which you may be entitled. Marissa Gillette, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I look forward to talking to you next month.
Me too. We'll be right back with Wayne Winston. We're getting into yet the latest controversy. This, the Black and Puerto Rican caucus calling for an apology by a Republican legislator for the words that she said on the floor with respect to analogizing the death of George Floyd and the wearing of masks by our school kids. Stay tuned for more of that coming right up with Wayne Winston when we return.